Hey, everybody. Glad you made it back out. Beautiful day outside. Lord's good to us, isn't he? Better than we deserve. Philippians chapter 4. I do want to say thank you again. Under no pressure at all from Brother Gurley to the church. We really do appreciate all that the church has done for us. And the goodness that you always show to us while we're here. The friendliness. And the familiar faces. It's good to come back to churches year after year and see the same people. That's a blessing. And so we're glad that we can be here. And I failed to do this last night. I'll do it this afternoon. It's always good to have the Phillips family and the Cooks family come up and be with us and visit here for this conference. I told my mom and dad last night as they went home that I failed and I felt horrible that I didn't honor them for being here. My mom and dad drove 2 hours each way last night just to be here, and I thanked them for doing that. And I tell you, if you got your parents and they support you, what you're doing in the ministry, you're blessed. You're really blessed. Dad and mom, they followed me all over the state of Virginia playing Little League Baseball growing up, and they enjoyed it. We had a good time. But I'm glad mom and dad will still come listen to their son preach. That means the world. It really does. And so I'm thankful for that. Philippians 4, very familiar verses today, verses 6 and 7, verses that have meant a lot to me, probably meant a lot to you. And I told a number of folks, I'm excited to preach this message much more than last night's message. So, without further ado, let's dive in. The Bible says, Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the promise that follows that is, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we sure love you today. We do appreciate the beautiful weather. Lord, the health to get out and about. And Lord, the opportunity that we have to gather together into the preaching of your word one more time. Please, Father, please help us today. I pray you'll reward these people for their effort and for their faithfulness. Lord, please speak through me to their hearts. We pray that Jesus will be magnified, that the church will be edified. And Lord, that we would go away being doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We sure need these messages, Lord. We need these thoughts that come out of these verses. And we're glad, Lord, for the promise that you've told us, that you would give us peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you for that and ask that you'll help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So building upon last night's messages, Brother Gurley and myself both, and continuing with the idea of saints being strangers and pilgrims while we're on this earth, these verses, along with what Brother Summers is going to preach to you as soon as I'm done, will help us, assist us in properly handling the difficulties of life, the successes of life, and everything in between. And it's handling those things and those circumstances that arise with both moderation and rejoicing. And so here the Bible says, begin this verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now that word is important. That's really what we're going to focus on today, that word careful. It has three different definitions that we'll look at. And I like doing that. I hope that doesn't bore anybody looking at that English word definitions. I think it's probably better than trying to go back and reinterpret the Bible and retranslate it. The Lord did a good job of that. We'll trust Him. Amen. And so we'll just learn our own language a little better. But that word careful, probably if I took a poll this afternoon and said, what does careful mean to you? You would come up with some sort of answer like this that would say, well, cautious. You know, or taking heed, or paying attention and being watchful. And I think that's probably what we would all understand as the word careful means. And that's not an incorrect answer by any means, but it's not what God's talking about in these verses. He is not telling us just to live a fanciful life. He's not telling you just to throw caution to the wind and not take heed to what you're doing. In fact, the Bible tells us over 50 times to take heed to certain things in our life. He's not telling us to not be cautious and to not watch out for things in our life. He tells us in Ephesians 5:15 to walk circumspectly. That phrase meaning to walk with caution or watchfulness every way. Man, as they say in football, you got to have your head on a swivel or it gets taken off. But that word careful certainly does mean cautious and taking heed, but that's not what God's telling us to do here. He's not telling us to just throw caution to the wind. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The second definition of the word careful is concern and oversight. If you'll come with me, hold your place in Philippians, come with me to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I wish I could preach the whole message on this verse, but I can't. And so I'll just mention it in passing and try to help Bear Trail Baptist Church and other church members that are here. And also just help the pastors. I get around these guys and you feel inferior if you haven't been pastoring as long as they have. And I appreciate men that have experience in the ministry that I can call on and ask questions, and that they're kind enough to just kind of pat you on the head and say, it's okay, bud. Just hang in there. 2 Corinthians 11, if you look here in verse 28, the Bible says, and Paul's going down through here, come back with me. He's really going through the troubles that he's had. He says in verse 23, of the ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. None of us in here to ask for that. He goes on to say, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's a lot of stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. In perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And that everybody in here would say, whew, if we'd gone through that, we'd be done. Don't sign up for any more. And then Paul adds one thing. And this is what I want to say to our pastor friends today and try to help our churches understand something. He says, verse 28, beside those things that without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Can I say to our church members here today, if you have a pastor that loves God, he's involved in this meeting, you ought to thank God for him. I thank God for the men that have been my pastors over the years and the friends that I have as pastors. And guys, you got to understand, we just want to be used of God. That's the bottom line. We're not superhuman. We're not anybody really that special. We're just instruments and vessels that we want God to use. And we have wives, and we have children, and we have families, and we have financial issues, and we have health issues, and we have all the things that are going on in our lives, and then we're here for you. We want you to come to us and talk to us about the things that you're dealing with in your life. We want to sit down and counsel with you over the Word of God and be able to guide you and direct you as best we can through the Scriptures. And when you have prayer requests, we want to pray with you and help you bear those burdens. And all of those things are right, and that's what a pastor's supposed to do. And it all piles up. And then there's the care of the churches that nobody verbalizes. I'm convinced after 12 years of pastoring that pastors analyze decisions in people's lives more than the people who made the decision. And sometimes we can see decisions getting ready to be made and we just cringe. Or maybe they haven't even been made yet. We just know there's the potential that decision could be made, and it's enough to keep us up at night. And we'll wake up at 1:30, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, and that's the thing that's consuming our mind, and we begin to pray and ask God to give wisdom and to help. And I'm just telling you, the care of the churches is a real burden that is borne by the pastors. And then pastors, be careful for nothing. And we're supposed to care about those things. But as we're going to see in this message today, the cares of this life can really be a dangerous thing. And so the third definition of the word care is to be full of, or careful, I'm sorry, is to be full of care. To be anxious, as we sang that song. To be concerned about something or someone. And that is what God's talking about in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And he expects us to have cares in life. He knows what it's like The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what it's like to walk on this earth in human flesh. We have not a high priest who is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to bear grief. He knows what it's like to weep over a dead loved one. He knows what it's like to walk in the shoes of a human being. He knows there's cares. But He also knows that we're weak. And that without Him, we could do nothing. And that if we allow these cares to overtake us, then it's going to pull our heart away from Him. It's going to pull our heart away from the things that He wants for our life. And so in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, God's not telling us to live carelessly. He's not giving us a license to sin. But He is warning us about the cares of life and the dangers that they pose to those living the stranger and pilgrim lifestyle. So if you look here, let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21, Brother Carlos's favorite gospel. I started to do a pop quiz, brother, but I didn't want to embarrass anybody. So anyway, all right. Luke 21, there's two dangers we're going to look at today of the cares of this life. Number one, it's found here in Luke 21. The Bible says in verse 34, Jesus speaking, He says, "And take heed to yourselves." There's that take heed. "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares." And so the principle here is that the desire for food and drink, like we talked about last night, but the cares of life, just the burdens that we bear every day and the things that we worry about and the things that we have to take care of and all the daily in and out that just consumes the human life, the Lord says, "I just need you to take heed to those things. Don't not do them. But don't let them overcharge your heart, overwhelm your heart." And now what happens when we get overwhelmed? Well, we get frustrated. And if we get frustrated long enough, we're just going to quit. And then when we're talking about the care of the churches and the pastors, it's the last thing we want to happen to any of our people is for them to be overwhelmed, overcharged in their heart by the cares of life, and they just fall out by the wayside. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now last night, I just read you a lot of scripture because I had a lot of ground to cover and not a lot of time. And so today we'll turn to these. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I tell our young people in our church and ask them to go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and make peace in it with God in their heart about that. You know, that chapter has caused a lot of people a lot of issues. We'll go ahead and say God's not forbidding anyone to get married. He said marriage is honorable and all. But He says if you get married, you need to understand it changes things. You're not a bachelor anymore. You can't live married like you lived when you were a bachelor. And ladies, you're not a, what's the word for that, single lady anymore. And so you can't live that way after you're married. And the Lord's just, He's just giving you some really practical realities in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you look with me in verse 32, He says, "But I would have you without carefulness." And He goes on to say, "He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." And can I say as a husband, that's absolutely right. I want to please my wife. I love her dearly. I told you that last night. And what the Lord's after in this chapter, and you're going to see here in a moment, is what He said over in the book of Luke and the other Gospels. And He said, if any man's going to be His disciple, that we've got to love Jesus Christ preeminently. He said, if we love father or mother more than Him, we're not worthy of Him. He said, if we love husband or wife more than Him, we're not worthy of Him. We love son or daughter more than Him. We're not worthy of Him. And yea, if we love our own life also more than Jesus, we're not worthy of Him. And all He's trying to do is get us to understand in this chapter, it's not wrong to be married. But if you get married, you just might not be able to do all the things that you used to want to do for Jesus. It's not a problem. It's not a sin. He's just trying to get us to understand and not be full of carefulness. If you look at verse 34, he says there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Look what he says. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without, what is it? Well, there's distractions everywhere, aren't there? Listen, in the normal course of a life, I've gotten to where I preach this at some funerals sometimes, and in the normal course of a life, a man that grows up and gets a job, hallelujah. I met the Phillipses today, spied on them, followed them around town, see where they're going to go buy stuff, make sure they're doing it in moderation. I didn't do that at all. But we did cross paths, and they were at Harbor Freight. They got any Harbor Freightites in here? All right. And so Brother Levi, anytime he goes to Harbor Freight, the whole paycheck gets blown in that visit. And we give him a hard time about that. Because the thing is, he's going to make money with all those tools that he buys. Nonetheless, a man that gets up every morning and goes to work, and he gets married, and he stays faithful to that woman every day of his life, and he has kids and he raises those kids, and he works to put food on the table, and he's faithful and he's good, and he teaches his kids about God, and he takes them to church, and he does that for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Can I just say, that's admirable. That's worthy of a salute. But in all of that, there's the cares of life. Guys, working a job's a care of life. It's an honorable thing to do. It's walking orderly, not walking disorderly. But it can overcharge the heart if we're not careful. Keeping house, cooking, cleaning, laundry, the honey-do lists, all those are things you got to do. But they'll overcharge the heart if you're not careful. Honoring your parents, especially as they get older. It's a full-time job sometimes. It's the right thing to do. Help take care of mom and dad until they step off this earth. You ought to do that. I believe that's part of honoring your mom and dad. But boy, that'll overcharge your heart if you're not careful. We think about our own health care. Doctor visits, dentist visits, eye doctors. How are we going to pay for that? Insurance doesn't cover that. It's a reality of life. It's a care of life. It'll overcharge the heart if you're not careful. Stewarding our finances. Paying your bills. When the bills come in and they're more than you thought they would be. Man, the power bills have been just excessive. I've been just floored. Anyway, can be a big care of life. Buying groceries. I bet since COVID, our grocery bill at our house has tripled. Be a huge care of life. It'll overcharge your heart if you're not careful. Paying taxes, God help us. Vehicle maintenance. Don't you just love when you've paid a whole lot of money out for power and groceries and you think, all right, I got this thing budgeted, and all of a sudden the brakes are gone. It's a care of life, isn't it? It can overcharge the heart. Family dynamics, friend dynamics. I've got on my notes political stupidity, and I think that's an accurate statement. But all of those things are things we have to deal with and multitude more as we walk this pilgrim journey. And those cares can overcharge and overwhelm and frustrate to where we're just so busy and we're running to and fro in a tizzy all the time, and it comes time to go to church and we say, I just can't. But you've got to. We've got to put God in His rightful place in our life. Well, I got this and this, and then mom called and this, and the dog got sick, and it's Wednesday night, and it's 5:30, and nobody's eating supper, and are we going to go to church or not? Those cares can overcharge the heart. So God says they can overwhelm us, and He warns us about that. If you look at 1 Corinthians 7:35, He says, "This I speak for your own profit, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Brother Ron Ralph preaches a message called Simplify Your Life. And it's good advice. It's good advice. All right. let's go to point number two for sake of time. So the first danger of the cares of life is that they will overcharge the heart. The second danger is in Mark chapter 4. If you'll turn there with me, Mark chapter 4. I'm just trying to give you some practical truths this afternoon. Help you watch out for these things. Nobody's sitting here, whatever blame you for dealing with the cares of life. What the pastors don't want to see in the church is the cares overwhelm the people. We just we'll be there to help you and do everything we can to help you get through all that, but we just don't want you to be overwhelmed. We don't want you to be frustrated. We don't want you to quit because everything's pulling at you. Number two, Mark chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, he's preaching on the parable, teaching on the parable of the sower. And he says, verse 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word." That's a great thing. "And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in," what do? "They choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And every pastor in here could tell you people in their church, either presently or in time past, that's happened to. They just get choked out by the cares of this world. And it's not just they stop coming to church. They just stop reading their Bible. They stop praying. They stop talking to the pastor. They stop talking to people in the church. And they just totally enclose themselves in all the problems and difficulties that they have. And I'm telling you, that's a self-destructive thing to do. There's help available. Not just in the church, but with Jesus Himself, there's help. And we can't just enclose and internalize ourselves to where we get choked off and the Word of God becomes unfruitful in our life. This is the distraction of the cares of life. These cares will take up our time, they take up our energy, they take up our focus, they take up our resources. And those things need, some of that needs to be reserved first and foremost for God. These cares of life will cloud the mind, they exhaust the spirit. They cause the soul to fret, and every single one of these things is a legitimate care. None of them are sinful. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Boy, this is good Bible. I thank God for a Bible. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says this, "Now it came to pass as they went, then he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving." That word cumbered meaning loaded excessively, crowded, hindered, distracted. "Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care?'" Well, there's one of those foolish questions again. You know when we tend to ask foolish questions? When we're being selfish. Those disciples came, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Of course he cares. "Lord, dost thou not care?" Of course he cares, Martha. "Thou care, my sister has left me." See that? I'm the one having to do all the work. "Left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And, you know, I guess Martha felt pretty verified in her mind, didn't she? "Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha.'" Can't you just hear him? "Martha, Martha." Probably shaking his head. "Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We understand Martha was cumbered about much serving. And what it did is it caused her to miss the one thing that she needed. And that was to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him teach her about spiritual things for a while. To take time out from all the physical cares, which no doubt were right for her to do. She's fixing a meal. She's cleaning the bathroom. She's getting ready for company. Ladies, I know how it is. My wife freaks out too when people are coming over to the house unannounced. Okay. One of those cares, gentlemen, let her know as quick as you can. Okay. But I understand. Okay. And Martha, she's just busy trying to take care of the cares of life. And Jesus is sitting out there, and Mary went out and sat down at Jesus' feet, and he said that that was a good thing and that it was a needful thing, but Martha missed it because of the cares of life. And what we've got to understand is the spiritual things in our life ought to take precedent over the physical things. And Martha was cumbered about much serving. Jesus said Mary chose the good part to sit at his feet and hear his word. And if you and I are not careful, we will get so busy, just like Martha, with the physical, carnal, earthly things, and we'll miss the spiritual things that God has for us. And it's not just coming to church. It's every day in that word. Listen, you just got to prioritize your time to where God gets his part, and you've got to defend that time with everything that's in you. Because the world's going to try to take it. For me, it works out. I'll just give you my example. Hopefully it helps somebody. It doesn't mean you have to do it my way. Amen. But it works for me. But the morning time is the best time for me. I'll get up. I fix a cup of coffee. And I sit at the dining room table for however long it takes me to read. Ever how many chapters I'm going to read that day. And pray. And meditate on some things. And when I feel like I've got all that done, I'll go in my office and get started. But a phone call doesn't get answered, a text message doesn't get answered, an email doesn't get answered until God's had his time. And it's revolutionized my life. I told our church a few months ago, we preached on this, and I said, if you'll just give God the priority, he'll make you more efficient in all the other things you've got to do that day. But if we just get up and get into the fray immediately and just, I'll get to you, Lord, I'll get to you. We're going to get overcharged and the word's going to get choked. And it's going to become unfruitful. For Martha, the cleaning, the cooking, the serving, the washing, the cares of life, they'll all be there when Jesus is gone. But Jesus is there for a moment. And you need to capitalize on that moment. It's more important than all the cares of life. Church is scheduled 3 times a week normally. We know the admonition to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But I know this. I know this from sitting in the pew for years before I became a pastor. You can come to church 3 times a week and not be engaged. You can come to church 3 times a week and fill your mind and fill your heart with all the busyness of life and all the cares of life and be sitting there figuring out how to pay for the dog's surgery after you ate the Lego versus listening to Pastor Crotts preach. Figuring out, why is my transmission slipping instead of listening to the singing and singing in the congregational. You understand? There's nothing wrong with fixing the dog or fixing the transmission. But it can't take the precedence over the time that's been devoted to God. Because those cares will choke out the word. They'll distract us. So if you do come to church, we talk about this all the time, prepare your heart. I'll pray this many times at Spring City before preaching. Lord, help us to lay aside all the cares of life for the next few moments so that the word is not choked. It's just an intentional mental thing that we have to do. All right, so let's get down to Philippians 4. As Brother Carlos said, let's give you the medicine. How do we handle these cares of life? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so the solution is prayer. As we sang that song, I did ask Brother Brad to sing that last night. I appreciate them doing that by request. And it says, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Prayer changes things. Prayer taps us into a power that is more powerful than us. And it brings those burdens in faith to the one who can help the one who can solve, the one who can give strength if he doesn't solve. He's the one that can help us in everything. He's the power that we need, and we don't have the sufficiency in ourselves. And yet coming to the Lord in prayer and bringing those cares before Him is what pleases Him, and He appreciates us doing that. He appreciates us admitting that we can't handle it on our own. And He says, I'm glad that you came to me. Now let me see what I can do. And I'm fully aware that Paul besought the Lord three times for the thorn in the flesh, and the Lord told him no, but He didn't just leave him no and kick him out. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And He said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, Paul, the weaker you get, the stronger I am in your life. And paraphrasing again, Paul said, bring it on. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. So prayer, what is prayer? Well, prayer is just talking to God. Just tell Him how you feel. You ever do that? I know a lot of times we think prayer is coming to God and asking for things. That's the supplication part. But how often do we just get along with God and just talk to Him about how we feel? Lord, we got this going on in our life, and that's a big decision, Lord. We don't really know. I mean, the way I look at it, Lord, there's two outcomes of this thing. If I choose to go this way, this will happen. If I go this way, Lord, what do you think? Lord, this dear sister in our church, this dear brother in our church, they're getting ready to go through this, or they're going through this, or they've gone through this. And Lord, I can really see it weighing on them. Oh, Lord, it just breaks my heart to see that. Yes. Just praying and talking to God. Lord, I got this decision to make in my job, and I am scared to death. Lord, if I make this decision, what's going to happen? I think the Lord gets immense pleasure out of us just talking to Him in that regard. So prayer is just talking to God, telling how you feel, what you're afraid of, how it frustrates you, all those things. Supplications, asking for a supply, telling God what you need. And I would say this, it would be good in those supplication prayers to have an earnest desire for God to be glorified no matter what the outcome is. A prayer of thanksgiving. Now that's kind of hard if you're going through some trouble. But it'd be good to tell God that you're thankful that He can help. And you're thankful for His Word, for His promises, for His comfort of the Holy Ghost. I always find something to be thankful for. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And so when we do this, we're bringing our petitions before the Lord. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'm glad the Bible promises us that God is a very present help in time of need. I count on that daily. I think I'm looking at people that do as well. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'll just mention these because Brother Summers is going to come talk about our thoughts and our mind here in just a moment. Isaiah 26:3, I quoted last night. We'll read again today. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so I want you to come to 1 Peter 5. We'll be finished this afternoon. 1 Peter chapter 5. Just making you aware of the danger of the cares of life and how they can consume us if we let them, and how they'll choke the word in our lives if we let them. 1 Peter chapter 5. I've always thought this interesting, the way God put this together. If you look with me in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, in order to pray and bring your cares to God, it's going to take some humility. I know how us mountain peoples are. We're going to handle it ourselves. And if we don't handle it ourselves, we tried our best. And nobody better say anything or we'll punch them in the mouth. Okay, I know how it is. But it's a whole lot better to be humble and come to God and say, I can't, God, but you can. Lord, I can't, but I know the one who can. And I'm not able, but Lord, you are. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've laid on my face in front of that altar at Spring City Baptist Church with nobody there and the lights out, and just quiet and peaceful, and just pour my heart out to God and get up, and the next day, the next week, the next month, God answers that prayer. There is no greater experience this side of glory than to know God heard your prayer and answered it. It's wonderful. But it takes some humility. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Boy, I need grace. I need mercy a lot more than I need grace. That's just how stupid I am. Humble yourselves up under the mighty hand of God, and may exalt you in due time. And if you come to verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And we all know that, don't we? And so what gives the devil an open door? Well, pride gives him an open door. I don't know if Brother Travis Alltop got this original or if it was from somewhere else, but he's the one I remember saying it. He said, the devil can smell pride a mile away. And if he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and we're walking about with all these burdens on us saying, I ain't going to tell God, I ain't going to bother God with it, did you? I don't want to, I can handle it. The devil just starts circling. Just like that lion out there in the Sahara, getting around that weak animal. And so what are we supposed to do in order to protect ourselves from our adversary, the devil? Well, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm glad the Lord cares for us. I'm glad he's mindful of us, as David said. But I want you to know, church, that verse is sandwiched between humility and an adversary. And if we fail to cast all of our care on him, those cares are going to beat us down. They're going to wear us out. They're going to frustrate us. We're just going to throw our hands up and walk away. And the moment you walk away from the flock is when the lion's going to pounce. The moment you get out of the protective care of that pastor is when the lion's going to pounce. And he's going to tear you to and fro, and it won't even be recognizable when he's done. And it doesn't have to be that way. God said, help's available, but you've got to cast all your care upon me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And I don't have time to preach this, but boy, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've experienced that so many times in my life, especially being a pastor and going and pray and get in the prayer closet or at the altar and just pour your heart out to God and just tell him your burden, let him know all the things that are bothering you. And it's just like this peace that you can't explain just comes over your soul because you know you've talked to the one who can handle it. You ever had to have customer service on a product or a service? And you call and some lady in the Philippines answers. And you say, ma'am, does anybody speak English? I don't understand what you say. And you get frustrated with that, don't you? Man, I'm glad the Lord understands. Sometimes I don't even have to say anything. That heart just groans. That spirit just groans. The Lord says, I know. I know. I'll take care of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the afternoon. Thank you to these folks for their attention. Lord, I pray that your word will help our hearts. Lord, this is so practical. So practical. Help us to mix the preaching with faith that it might be profitable in our lives. And pray, Lord, that we would learn how to cast all our care on you. Thank you, Lord, for inviting that. Thank you for telling us that you're interested in us. Thank you, Lord, for being a very present help in a time of need. Thank you for being sufficient. Lord, thank you for being all-powerful. Thank you for loving us, dying on the cross, rising again the third day. Lord, thank you for this church, for this meeting. And Lord, thank you for the help that's available. And I pray that the folks will take advantage of it. In Jesus' name we pray.